Adolf Grunbaum is the Andrew Mellor Professor of Philosophy of Science at the University of Pittsburgh. He is the author of the paper entitled Why Is There a Universe at All Rather Than Just Nothing, which appears in 2009's volume Logic, Methodology and Philosophy of Science. In 2013, Oxford University Press have begun publishing the collective works of Professor Grunbaum, of which Volume 1 is entitled Scientific Rationality, the Human Condition and 20th Century Cosmologists, with Volume 2 entitled The Philosophy of Space and Time, scheduled to be released in 2014. Adolf, why does anything exist at all has always been regarded as a profound question. But within this, is this even a viable question? Does why does anything exist at all make logical sense?
You ask whether this is even a viable question. The question unjustifiably presupposes that the normal state is for there to exist nothing at all. And therefore, since something does exist, the question is, why does it deviate from the presumably normal state? But I say that the assumption that the normal or state that's to be expected is nothing at all is unjustified and begs the question.
Interesting. How important in this, then, is the definition or the concept of nothing? If it presupposes that nothing or non-existence is the norm, but you're saying that isn't necessarily the case, how important is that in its consideration?
Well, the point is, if a question presupposes something and that something is dubious or ill-founded, then the question evaporates. It's easily illustrated by the obvious example of asking a man who doesn't ever beat his wife when he stopped beating her. Then it's obvious to any person that that's an unjustified question. So questions are not always innocent. They often presuppose dubious assumptions. And the point is that one isn't then obligated to answer the question, but one has to challenge the underlying dubious assumption. And in the case of this question, why does anything exist at all? The difficulty is that it presupposes that the normal state is for there to be nothing. And you justifiably asked me, is this even a viable question? And my answer is negative.
So how would you approach addressing why there is any form of existence at all? How would you take it? You already illustrated why it's not a viable question. How can we even then start to think about any form of existence that we find ourselves in the universe in?
Very easily. I mean, that is a very specific case. We will ask why human beings exist. We have a theory of evolution. We ask why the sun heats us. We know about the nuclear transmutation of hydrogen into helium. We answer all kinds of questions by the specifics that are relevant to them.
You think there's no area whatsoever for any kind of metaphysical questions because you don't even think they're viable on top of that. So if I ask you why the universe exists, you would probably point to something in the direction of theories of physics, why humans and species exist, there's evolution. So you don't even think there's an area for a potential metaphysical question at all.
Well, I don't know about metaphysical, but a philosophical question can be addressed as follows. There are two possibilities. The universe always existed, in which case the question of where it comes from or why it exists is not a good question. We answer, it's a brute fact that there is a world, a brute fact. We have to realize that some states of affairs are brute facts and others are explained by reference to other states of affairs. And in the case of this question, I think the answer is the universe exists as a matter of brute fact. Now, that is true even if the universe has what is called a finite past. That is, if it's only, say, 8 billion years old. Then there is a first state of the world which had no temporal predecessor, but which then misconceived to ask what happened before then, because by hypothesis, it's the first state of the world and no state existed before then. So that's asking a question like, when did I stop beating my wife?
Sure, or what's north of the North Pole? I appreciate that. That's fine. You're very clear in your direction of your argument here. So, for example, the old classic argument in Big Bang cosmology would be that you can't say what happened before the Big Bang because there was literally no time and space. And therefore, for those people that try to say, well, the only thing nothing can do is nothing, so how can we get something from nothing? You've already explained why that is not even a viable question in your own opinion. So why do you think all these misconceptions occur in contemporary philosophy, often theology, and sometimes physics, in terms of why people try to look for an answer to why there's something rather than nothing?
Well, there are many hypotheses as to why that's done. I don't think there's a single reason why people do it. People may have different motivations. Some people just have a feeling of being overwhelmed by puzzlement or by awe, and so they crave dealing with this kind of question. But the important thing then is to analyze the question, to analyze its presuppositions, to bring them out, and then to ask people, do they still think that they're puzzled? And if so, why are they puzzled? If they can't tell you, then it becomes a psychological question why they are puzzled, and it's no longer a philosophical issue that the rest of us have to worry about.
So essentially, to summarize some of these points, you clearly think it's not a viable question because it presupposes something prior to it. You've addressed two different ways in kind of an overarching framework of why there is a universe, either it began or if it didn't, it always existed, but that doesn't infringe on anything of what constitutes nothing, because by definition, it doesn't apply.
I have a comment on what you said. You mentioned an overarching framework. This is, of course, always the case on the part of people who believe in God and want to bring God into everything. And they, of course, want to bring God into the existence of the world. And they do so by the so-called causal argument for the existence of God. That is the argument from creation. I think that argument begs the question. The question is, if somebody asks, why does the universe exist at all? My answer is, that's a brute fact. We explain other things in terms of the existence of something, not the very existence of the whole universe. And then people become temporally oriented, and they think of the universe in terms of its history, and they then sometimes, instead of considering the possibility that it always existed, they assume that there was a first state of the universe, which specifically means a state that had no temporal predecessor. But if it had no temporal predecessor, then it doesn't mean anything to say that there was an earlier cause for it, because there was nothing earlier. And to say there was nothing before it is just a way of being victimized by language, just to say it had no temporal predecessor. Otherwise, the supposition is there was nothing before it, and that the nothing somehow prevailed in time, which it did not.
No, I completely agree with that one there. I do feel that outside of non-existence per se, nothing isn't by definition possible. So it isn't plausible to say that something can come from nothing, because without something, nothing doesn't have the same application. I agree with you there. As an atheist, personally, I don't believe that God can be a first cause for many reasons. For example, the argument you just stated there, which is if the universe already is a brute fact, then we can cut it off there. Some people would like to say that God is responsible for everything, and then God is self-existent as a brute fact. But if that's the case, then I think you can already cut that off to Occam's razor, because we can already explain the universe without it. Not to mention how a God that's outside time and space can create time and space. But these are separate atheist arguments in terms of the universe. You mentioned different explanations for the universe, whether it had a beginning and a cause or whether it didn't, and also existing as a brute fact. How does necessity and probability fit in all this? Is there a particular view you can bring here, Adolf?
There's two different issues. One is, does the universe exist in point of brute fact? The next question is there a temporal history to the universe? The universe may have had a first state, that is a state having no temporal predecessor. In that case, it's a misleading linguistic victimization by language to say that before then, nothing existed after all, because there was no before to talk about. Therefore, not even nothing can be can have existed there, so to speak. So the best thing is to say the universe may either have had an infinite past or a finite past, and the finite past could have been that there was a first state, that meaning a state without temporal predecessor. The people who talk about the necessary existence of the universe have not made out their case, as far as I'm concerned. And probabilities, they would occur in a vacuum. Probabilities are relative to something. You say, this is probable on the basis of that. But just to say a priori probable, I wouldn't know how a priori one would assess the probability of the universe. Seems to me that's a blind alley.
If the universe did have a temporal beginning, so to speak, and we can say that there is nothing before that because nothing isn't possible before that temporal beginning, how would you put that into the perspective of, say, quantum wave fluctuation, in which there seems to be this infinite quantum backdrop in a vacuum, and then particles can come from this existence and basically create energy and other aspects of the universe as we know? Is there anything you would like to say on that?
Those are still quite speculative. I would want to see an articulated specific theory employs quantum fluctuations to make the case. But much more has to be done than just hand-wavingly talk about quantum fluctuation.
Out of all the arguments about trying to explain why anything exists at all, you've been quite strong in your position about how the problems of language throws up some puzzles that perhaps aren't really puzzles. But if I were to ask you the other way, what is the worst argument from your perspective when people try to answer this question? Would it be something like a religious or theological argument, or other arguments that fail in your eyes in logic?
People do all kinds of things on these issues. Some people think that divine creation explains something. I think it's utterly obscure. How do they actually envision divine creation? They haven't the foggiest idea just what this would be like. As I can see it, what they're assuming is that from daily life, when we have experiences of making things, creating cakes or creating houses or whatever, they mis-extrapolate that to the notion that there could have been a creation altogether out of nothing. That's a totally obscure notion. There could have been a first state of the world, and then one could say it had no temporal predecessor, and there was nothing at all before then. But we have to be very careful in how we handle a statement like there was nothing, because that can easily become a substantive, making substantival use of the notion of nothing, which is improper. You see, Lewis Carroll discussed that beautifully. He showed how silly it is to analogize saying somebody is coming down the road, say a car, to saying nothing is coming down the road. When we say nothing is coming down the road, we're not saying that there is something called nothing that came down the road. Every child knows that. But in the case of other contexts that throw around nothing as if it were a substantive entity.
You've mentioned some ideas from your writing in this area. You can elaborate on some of those if you want.
Well, I mean, I'm referring here to the volume that's called Logic, Methodology, and Philosophy of Science, Proceedings of the 13th International Congress in Beijing, China, edited by Gleemore, Way, and Westerstall, published by King's College Publications, London, in 2009. And that paper is entitled, Why Is There a Universe at All Rather Than Just Nothing? I would like to refer your auditors to that publication because it sets forth, seems to me, very specifically what I have said about these things. I want to mention some other very important thing for your readers. Oxford University Press in New York is publishing 3 volumes of what they call my collected works. Each volume has a subtitle, of course. The first volume is in my hands, Collected Works, Volume 1. It's entitled Scientific Rationality, the Human Condition, and 20th Century Cosmologies. And that appeared just this year. And 2 more volumes are coming out.
When are the other 2 volumes coming out?
The second one is probably going to come out in 2014, and the third one soon thereafter.